Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now. Right now.
I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith here in the Leaders Portfolio studio with the president, founder, and owner of American Substance Abuse Professionals, Dr. Reed Morrison. American Substance Abuse Professionals, ASAP, is located in Baltimore. They provide health and safety prevention programs to companies such as employee drug testing and substance abuse training. In 2009, ASAP had approximately $3.6 million in revenues with approximately 33 employees. Welcome, Reed, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you founded ASAP in 1973. It was an earlier kind of version of this, and that became the nation's first state-certified alternative treatment program.
Yeah, there were several incarnations leading up to ASAP. In the first, when it was in 73, I was 23 years old and too naive to know that you shouldn't do these things at age 23, so co-founded a substance abuse treatment program that was an alternative program, an intensive outpatient program, and then took that into, in the early 80s, into an employee assistance program, and then morphed it into the present program in 1997 as ASAP.
And you utilized, in your therapy at some point, dance therapy, music therapy, meditation. So back in the day, was that unusual?
That was unusual back in the day and somewhat unusual today. We found that, and the premise was that people were doing drugs not just because they wanted to be drug addicts. I think that really plays into what we're doing today. Drugs or alcohol problems start out as solutions to problems. People use them not because they think it's a good career choice, mm-hmm. but because they're trying to do something that they can't do otherwise, either stay awake or deal with pain, deal with emotional problems. And then the medicine itself becomes a problem.
And so you deal with the root. So you solve the problem. You solve the drug use in a way.
We do, and we started out with treatment. The drug abuse program was treatment, and then we moved in the employee assistance program. We moved into the business world, and now what we're doing is helping corporations around the country. We're a national company, headquartered in Baltimore, but we're all over the place. We have 30 employees in Baltimore, and we have about 1,350 around the country, independent contractors who do evaluations. So we're helping companies mitigate risk management, the risk of substance abuse, particularly in safety-sensitive areas.
Why safety-sensitive areas?
Most of our clients, at least originally, our clients were either regulated by the Department of Transportation, which mandates that there has to be testing for procedures for dealing with violations of testing policies. And we also deal with regulated companies from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission side. So it's obvious that we don't want people using drugs or alcohol while they're flying planes, while they're driving trucks, while they're operating nuclear facilities.
So those are the majority of the types of clients.
Yes. And then since the DOT, the Department of Transportation, came out with these regulations, and they were implemented in 1995. I think the original originally came out in 89. Many other companies are modeling their own corporate substance abuse policies on these federal regulations.
And so tell us as well, what's different about how you advise treating these individuals versus the way it's generally practiced?
Well,
what do you do different?
I'm not sure. What we do different is that when a company has an employee who has a positive test, we have a local evaluator. So if someone's in the middle of Idaho, we have somebody there. They know the treatment facilities. They know what's good and what's not good. I think what's different about us is one size doesn't fit all. We don't think we have the answer. We think that the answer starts with knowing the individual, knowing the individual's history and problems and family and social context.
So, and talk to me a little bit, because I'm sure people, our listeners, want to know this, about the process. So who hires you? Private sector individuals who have government federal contracts?
Well, they're mostly private companies. We do a little bit of government work, but they're private companies who are regulated by government regulations. So large transportation companies, airlines, they contract with us. Also, employee assistance programs for some companies who are also subject to those regulations.
And then what you do is a couple things. One is you will help individuals who have been identified with having drug abuse as a problem.
Right.
Two, you do training for private companies.
We do, and we have to. It's primarily training supervisors to identify drug and alcohol problems among their employees, and then take appropriate steps to help them with the problems.
And what's interesting, too, with your field is that there's a lot of, as you said, regulations around it, and it can get companies in trouble legally as well, because it's a tricky area, right? You want to help an employee, but if you help them too much the way you would as a private citizen, mm-hmm. you could be, you know, crossing a legal boundary, right? And so I would imagine some companies would want to outsource to you for that reason, because then they can just stay away from it. Is that correct?
The legal liabilities are tremendous, and what they count on us to do is to make sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, all the compliance. We monitor compliance every step of the way. Everything is documented according to regulations, according to federal privacy laws.
Now, how do you measure effectiveness? And I can ask this because I'm speaking with Dr. Right. Morrison, a doctor, where you would be concerned with that.
Well, I think that substance abuse treatment in this country is mostly measured in terms of treatment completion. X amount percentage of people complete a program after a certain amount of time. Usually the federal statistics are around 30% to 40% at best. In our program and in the companies that contract with us, we're at about 85% or 90%
that
successful.
Complete the treatment.
Right, because we are making sure no one falls through the cracks. Every step of the way, we're with them, we're monitoring, we're documenting. And these people, it's really carrot and stick. If they don't comply, they lose their jobs often. And if they do, they get to keep a job. So there's in a way it's like a reinforcement schedule that progresses along the way.
And so that's interesting. So the field generally measures outputs, right?
Right.
So outputs of treatment, but outcomes, do you see that where they're measuring long-term success of whether the person?
Most of the outcomes are after really a first year. That's as far as they go. We're actually working on, we're collaborating with research with the Johns Hopkins Center for Learning and Health and looking at a longer piece of follow-up. So your question mm-hmm. is a good one and a very important one.
So what are you finding that leads to better kind of success?
Follow-up, I think, is the key. So often people go into treatment and then they're back on the street or back at wherever they came from. But recovery is often a lifelong process. And what happens is that even if the rewards initially are I get to keep my job, in the case of our program and our company, the rewards become associated with other rewards. I get to keep my family. I get to keep my health. I get to keep my life. I get my life back. That's when recovery really takes on a life of its own.
That's interesting. And it's interesting, too, because as, you know, me speaking as a political scientist, interesting because the way unemployment laws are written now where you can get 2 years, it's the incentive to keep a job has somewhat lessened for a certain percentage because now knowing you can get 2 years of unemployment,
right. Yeah.
Which for many people is great. For other people, it now becomes a disincentive mm-hmm. for a job. So, I mean, as with everything, there's blessings and curses.
Oh, there are. There really are. That's a good point.
So we're speaking with president, founder, and owner of American Substance Abuse Professionals, Dr. Reed Morrison. So, of course, you know, Reed, that I'm going to ask you the question, which is why do you care about this work? Is it something in your family history where then you started caring about this population or some research you discovered, or did it just fall into it?
I think I was really a child of the 60s and saw so many people that I know go through all kinds of ups and downs. and found myself asking these questions of really what are people looking for in using drugs? And we mentioned that earlier in our conversation, and wanted to find some way to help people get back to what they were really really seeking in the beginning. So I think that there's the seed of real personal transformation in any kind of recovery from substance abuse. And if you talk to people who have long-standing recoveries, that they really have found that. They really found not just new directions in their life, but a new identity for themselves, new meaning.
And so you feel like you were able to fulfill something that you cared about solving. Like you feel like
absolutely.
You accomplished
that. It's very important. And I think any time that you have some passion for what you do, you're learning more about yourself.
And has the work become more fulfilling over time, or just as fulfilling as when you first started in 1973?
It's different. It's changed. And as I've taken it from a nonprofit into the business world brings up all kinds of other challenges and opportunities. I didn't set out to be in business at all. My training is a psychologist, and I approach business as a psychologist, which is not recommended. It's nothing to try not to try at home.
That's a good.
But at the same time, for me, it's been that everything that I do or that we do has to have some kind of relationship to self-development itself.
Well, I want to continue our conversation on Leaders Portfolio. We're speaking with the president, founder, and owner of American Substance Abuse Professionals, Dr. Reed Morrison. We're going to bring Reed back. Before we do that, I want to thank these supporters of leadership, Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, their development that was featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you are trying to reach decision makers and you want to support leadership, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We appreciate our sponsors because they allow us to talk about leadership on air and to talk with you and provide you things like leadersportfolio.com so that you can learn how to make better decisions. And we all know that government and business can benefit from better decisions being made. And so that's what we're doing here at Leaders Portfolio. I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, and I will be returning with Dr. Reed Morrison after this. It's all here on Leaders Portfolio.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com. leadersportfolio.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
We're in studio here on Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. Joining us again, president, founder, and owner of American Substance Abuse Professionals, Dr. Reed Morrison. And you serve ASAP, which is your company, is located in Baltimore, approximately $3.6 million in revenues, around 33 employees in 2009. And you tend to serve clients who are concerned with safety-sensitive areas. But in general, what are you seeing? I guess the first question would be, are you seeing an increased level of drug and alcohol problems in the workplace?
Well, the DOT has been measuring this, and they find okay. that over time, that the amount, the number of positives go down when a company has a program in place, a drug-free workplace. So it really works.
Because it probably also screens out potential employees that would want to be employed there, knowing.
Well, there's pre-employment testing, screening, as well as when employees are tested, random testing. There's post-accident testing. For cause, there's return to duty testing. So there's testing all the way. But yes, it's it works.
And so are you seeing also changing attitudes in the workplace to drug and alcohol?
I don't think that this is something that when we do trainings for supervisors and employees, it's rare that employees say, "This is wonderful. I'm so glad I'm learning about drugs." But what we see is that when people come into our program, when they have a positive test, almost nobody admits to using a drug or alcohol. They don't do it. They have elaborate and elegant excuses. We catalog them at one time.
Interesting.
Including alien abductions. It was just wonderfully entertaining. But what happens is that people hate it when they first come to the evaluation. Most people have been suspended or they've been fired. And they don't like us very much. By the time there's a two evaluation process. They're evaluated, they're sent to treatment, they're monitored, and then they come back for a second evaluation. The second evaluation, which precedes return to duty, almost everyone says, "I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, and I'm so glad I went through it, because I'm seeing now that I'm getting my life back, not mm-hmm. just my job."
Excellent. It reminds me of counseling. People hate it, but it's good for you. Or marriage counseling, or anything like that.
Yeah.
And your training was Saybrook, San Francisco. You're a licensed psychologist, specialist in substance abuse evaluation and treatment. And so what did you think you were going to – were you going to go into private practice?
Well, I went into psychology because my father was a businessman. And as a good teenager, as we all try to do, we need to rebel and to find ourselves. And as the fates have their way, and if you know Greek mythology, the fates even rule Zeus, here I am back in the business world trying to learn what I need to learn. And I think that's critically important and really maintains passion, is that if we're really getting anywhere in our businesses, we're learning the parts of ourselves that we don't know, mm-hmm. that we're undeveloped, that are challenging.
Excellent. And what's your overall leadership philosophy?
I don't know if I have a philosophy I can point to. That's a good question. I guess I try to help people become leaders of themselves in terms of employees. I try to create an environment, an atmosphere where people have the resources and support and structure so that they feel that they have a sense of autonomy and accomplishment. And when that happens, I think they really naturally satisfy the mission of the company.
And have you had – well, I shouldn't say have you had any failures. I should say name a failure.
Well, I think my failures – because I don't have a business background. And I think what I did, at least initially, and still fall into this, is that there are people who say, I think they know something that I don't know. And in terms of facts and business knowledge, that's true. But I think along the way I've maybe trusted some people a little bit too much. But I still lead with trust. Mm-hmm. And mostly that pays off. I think that it's important for people to feel trusted and then observe their behavior and judge them on how they perform.
Now, have you had any kind of business crises that could have derailed your business or maybe shot your business up in growth, accelerated growth?
Well, I think, of course, the recent recession has been a challenge to just about every business. And I think one of the ways it turned out revitalizing us is that we engaged our entire company in brainstorming solutions and directions. So everyone became involved with what can we do differently? How can we use what we do in different ways? How can we be more creative and more productive? So it was, but what began as something like, oh gosh, well, this is terrible, and it became a way to really reinvigorate our company and motivate people. And we haven't, I'm going to knock on your wood here, we haven't had to lay off anyone. So we're very grateful for that.
Excellent, excellent. And how have you seen the overall field change over time?
Well, I think that it changed. The field changed because we're in a place today in the field where the brain is what's most important, and what's lost is the mind. So I think that there's a reductionism that says everything is reduced to parts of the brain that either perform well or they don't, and we become brains instead of people.
You led right into my Forbes business quote. It's the mind that makes the body rich by William Shakespeare. But I think you already answered it.
Yeah, so that's excellent. We're trying to get our minds back. We've been out of our minds for a while.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Morrison, I want to thank you for being with us in Leaders Portfolio.
Well, it's been a pleasure to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
ASAP, American Substance Abuse Professionals. He's the president, founder, and CEO of ASAP, and American Substance Abuse Professionals. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, and I am really excited right now to be able to announce to you our Leaders Portfolio Award winners for 2011. This is the second year of our competition, and it's been really exciting to see the number of applicants, the number of nominees come in. People just, some are self-nominations. Some are employees nominating or a listener nominating or a client nominating or a peer nominating. And we appreciate that. And so now I'm going to present the winners. And what we had, before I do that, let me tell you a little bit. I'll build the suspense here. And that is that judges graded applicants based on the quality of their answers to a variety of leadership questions, such as how do you define success? Are you or have you been a mentor and or mentee? Someone basically being mentored by someone. When have you failed and what have you learned? You know, that's a question we ask here in Leaders Portfolio each week. Has the business ever had the opportunity to sacrifice short-term profits for loyalties to employees, clients, or greater good? And so these are the series of questions that applicants went through to determine whether they deserve to be a Leaders Portfolio Award winner. And we do this competition for a couple reasons. One, we had a number of folks who want to nominate different CEOs and business owners from across this this area to get on Leaders Portfolio, and Leaders Portfolio only selects guests, so we don't accept incoming referrals. And so we had a number of people, and we thought, hey, you know what? We also want to give back to this area and award businesses that have taken the time to answer a series of leadership and business ethics questions. And so there's a panel of judges. I'll tell you right now, I'm one of those judges. And so I got to read these applications, and they're awesome. I really enjoy reading them to look through, how people would approach different things or the failures. I mean, that's one of the things that really, I really think is interesting is how hard some of these people have worked or how they've chosen to do something when it wasn't in their economic interest so that they can, give back somehow, either to the community, et cetera. It's been a lot of fun reading these applications. So this year, I am proud to present you with the 2011 Leaders Portfolio Award winners for Business Leader of the Year, Under 50 Employees, John Radigan, President of iDirect Government Technologies. John Radigan, President of iDirect Government Technologies, Business Leader of the Year. He's a co-winner with Dr. Shaheen Samadi. He's co-founder and president of Innovum. He was a co-winner of that for Business Leader of the Year. So congrats to Mr. Radigan and Dr. Samadi for winning Business Leader of the Year. Now for Business Leader of the Year, over 50 employees, Dr. Homaira Akbari, President and CEO of Skybits. Dr. Homaira Akbari, President and CEO of Skybits, and congratulations to her as well. And for Rising Business Leader of the Year, Jennifer Shao, Congrats as well to Jennifer. And so those are our 2011 Leaders Portfolio Award winners. Congratulations to them, to their families, to their companies for competing and winning the 2011 Leaders Portfolio Award winners. Thank you as well to our sponsors for sponsoring this competition and Leaders Portfolio as well. Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia. If it weren't for them, we would not be able to provide you leadership content. So thank you for them for supporting it and this award. Thank you as well to all the folks who applied and were nominated and either, didn't win this year or maybe won a different year. Thank you for taking the time. Please know that we appreciate it and we encourage you to apply in the future for next year's Leaders Portfolio Awards competition. And again, if you weren't able to be a sponsor this year, get in touch with us at leadersportfolio.com because there's always room to support leadership in the future. Leadersportfolio.com. Send us an email and someone will be in touch for you to be able to be a part of the next Leaders Portfolio Award competition. I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I love this leadership competition because I feel like we are giving back to this area and we are encouraging people to make good decisions, even sometimes when it doesn't benefit them, because that's what a good leader does. They make the hard decisions. And it's something that we all know government can use a dose of, as well as the business community, right? There was a number of companies that, in a way, were one of the key variables in why we had a global economic crisis. And we know government played a role as well, our government, our American government. And so we certainly can use a higher level of courageous leadership decision-making. And so we want to encourage that here at Leaders Portfolio. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I appreciate talking with you each week on Leaders Portfolio, talking to different CEOs from throughout the area about leadership so that you can learn from them. Because you know what? I learn from them. And if I don't learn from them, I know that that I haven't done a good job as your host here on Leaders Portfolio so that you can learn from them as well. We talk each week to CEOs from Fortune 2000 down to Inc. 500, down to the small award-winning businesses, just people who have been highlighted for different decisions. I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, thanking our senior producer, Dr. Ollers, and the production team, Miguel, Jennifer, Christine, and Tara, all here with us on Leaders Portfolio. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith asking you what's in your portfolio, not our portfolio, what's in your portfolio.